fuck you! Australia! Germany! Africa!
Here we go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A minute past the hour, and we begin the final program of the month of August 2015, and the first program of a brand new broadcast week, all in one fell swoop. Aren't calendars cool? Yeah, and arbitrary, too. Sorta, kinda, you know what I mean. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to be part of the rollicking, good time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. Just a couple of folks in there right now. We don't stand on ceremony and demand that everyone be present and accounted for. We're not quite that authoritarian or regimented, but still, we're off and running. Yes, we are. Good evening to longtime inveterate, veteran, indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky, who third stage guild navigator that he is, has folded space to be man cave. And good evening to Jug of Punch. Yes, thank you very, very kindly for dropping by and, you know, being there for the very beginning of things. Yeah. It's time to note technical difficulties with the program. I got a note from Randy here saying one of the stereo channels is off, and I noticed that myself. I don't know why. It just is. Dadgummit, it just is. But maybe at some point in time, we'll sort it out. We'll just find a little space for that in the indolent boredom of my otherwise leisurely life. Actually, what'll happen is when I get a chance to ask John Fox will explain it to me, which is usually how it works out. Hey, good evening, labor man. Gary, out in New Mexico, has wandered into the conversation. Welcome aboard. Anybody else wanting to jump into the chat room, you know how, if you've never done it before, it's very, very easy. You just pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and bang, you're right there, as long as Java is cooperating with you. That is a condition precedent, without a doubt. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is also where you go if you want to help us keep this all on the air. Yes, indeed. We closed the program. Oh, God, already with the gazintas this early in. We closed the program, done with fundraising, down to $199 and... trying to remember. 37 cents. And then Carl followed up in short order the other night with $13.13. 37, 34, 24... 96. So we're at 186.24. If my ciphering and my gazintas is working correctly. Yeah, Okay, good. We're sorry. Skype is improving my Skype experience right now. Brother. So, 284.24. Oh, damn it. Don't get ahead of yourself. 184.24. Scratch that. Do the other. Right. Getting signed into Skype since my experience has been improved. I think that's rather a bit pushy of them. Come on, you can do it. You can do it, I know you can. And by the way, happy birthday to our buddy Nikki. It is her birthday today. Happy birthday indeed. Let's see, 6 minutes past the hour. And of course, yes, it's More In Monday. Ever since the program closed on Friday, it has felt like the entire weekend was just a warm-up for More In Monday. We are broadcasting live on TuneIn. Thank you, Carol, for letting me know. No, I can't. I really can't. Carol says, I'm not sure about your math. Can you do that again? Not on a dare! Doctor Who popping into the chat room. Hey, Doc. So, yeah, really, it's More In Monday. And, yes, I know, there is a...
What?
Okay, it's a little early for phone calls yet, but I'm not sure I knew who you were. But anyway, I know, there's calculator widgets all over the place, but the fun of this is hearing me try to do it in my head on the fly while at the same time engineering a radio program and talking. Yeah, that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. So, no, as noted, it is More In Monday. And they've been kind of backing up over the course of the weekend, and over there at Meet the Prestitutes, they had morangasm, because everyone's favorite right wing Republican upper Midwestern intellectual was on the program Sunday. Apparently, they couldn't find the Donald, and the Jebya was out somewhere trying to unstupid himself from something stupid he had recently said. And John McCain, I don't know, maybe he was on his vacation trip to Mars or wherever it is that they, never mind. I mean, when you can't find John McCain. So that's how, I guess, Chuck Todd wound up with Scott Walker, you know, the creature of the Koch brothers, Chuck and Dave's creature. He does not operate with independent will or human actualization. He merely does what he is told. Interesting note here. John, a different John, says, I've been listening to your podcast for quite some time using an app called Dog Catcher. However, recently your new shows do not show up on it. This has happened to a couple of other podcasts as well. Any idea? None. None, really. None. In fact, I've never heard of Dog Catcher. For podcasting purposes, we recommend... Well, we recommend signing up for the feed at whiterosesociety.org, and I try to keep up with that every evening, and I think I've been getting the podcast posted appropriately. I don't know now. Except for one. Last week, the 24th, couldn't get that to go for beans. Just couldn't. don't know why. Just don't. But it couldn't. But I've never heard of dog catcher. I guess I'll have to go and investigate that. It's another thing for the list for my life of indolent boredom. No, Scott Walker was on Meet the Prestitutes. And the reason for mentioning this is because of what he said he thinks we need to take a look at. Namely, Canada. Yeah, Canada. That walking publicity magnet that is presently leading the GOP faithful, you'll remember, wants to build a wall around the southwestern United States. You know, basically a border wall with Mexico. Well, they're on Meet the Prestitutes, talking to the McCainless Chuck Todd. Well, it got a little interesting, I guess you would say. Because, well, remember how Chuck Todd said, you don't dare ask. Hard questions of guests. Because you'll never get them on the air again. I guess Chuck Todd wasn't as worried about, or maybe not concerned at all, about whether or not Scott Walker ever comes back. He'll sure show Chuck Todd when he gets to be president. Darn it. I mean, after all, if we're going to worry about Mexicans, we also have to worry about those sneaky Canadians, because we all know they got universal single payer health care up there. Can you imagine living in that unfreedom hell? I mean, you know, the Canadians are just waiting for a chance to come boiling, roiling, pouring across our border, and we've got a lot more border with them than we do with Mexico, and at least with Mexico, we've got a desert that they got to cross. But no, they can just come sashaying down from the high plains right into North Dakota and ruin everything. Overload our already overloaded for-profit healthcare system? Golly! I mean, this is the stuff that nightmares are made of. Right? Yeah. But that's okay, America. Scott Walker is on the job. You know it. Because he's just that cokey. Can you imagine what it must be like to be Scott Walker and get up in the morning and not even know if you can go and take the morning pee without being previously told by Chuck and Dave that it's okay to do that? Yeah. I mean, this is horrifying. The horror. The horror.
Your good friend, the Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark, said just this week, he said your campaign's stuck in neutral and that you need to find a spark to counter the, quote, Donald Trump juggernaut. What do you... say to him, and do you agree with him?
It's hard work. It's going out. I was just in Iowa the other day, South Carolina, New Hampshire. It's doing town hall meetings. It's doing...
I'm going to cry. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Running for president is hard work. Wait a minute. Didn't Dim Leader already say that a few years ago?
It's hard work being president.
Yeah, somehow I do seem to recall that. It's hard work. Apparently it's even harder than sitting around and ruining your once very strong progressive state's economy and educational system and all kinds of stuff. I mean, that was hard to do. It took a lot to make Wisconsin weird. But this is hard work, going to South Carolina and Iowa and New Hampshire all the time, where people look at you and go, Scott who? Oh, good. Do you know where the Trump rally is, Scott?
Nope!
Yeah. God, I hope this is not a harbinger of the evening.
To things that, you know, remember 8 years ago about this time, there was, I think, a pullout in October of 2007. Last time we had an open seat for president, and Hillary Clinton was way ahead of some guy by the name of Barack Obama, and Rudy Giuliani and Fred Thompson were ahead of John McCain and Mitt Romney. So there's a lot of work that... goes in these races. For us, I think the biggest spark for us is getting the message out.
Oh, enough already. This is really annoying. Yay. And this is a fresh restart on the... damn it. Run these clips about a million times today, did a fresh reboot on the machine before the program, and oh, that's what you get out of, well, never mind.
Working.
Oh, this is deeply frustrating. But don't you love the comparing himself to Barack Obama part of all of that? Yeah. Because Scott Walker's going to surge ahead of... wait, wrong party to be surging ahead of Hillary, isn't it? No. Maybe he's comparing himself to John McCain or Bishop Willard Romney. Probably Bishop Willard Romney, because Scott Walker is, of course, the son of a preacher man. Nope, not going to cue that up. By the way, Ron says 5x5 up here in the not yet walled in Canadian hinterlands. I can't wait until Wisconsin gets a load of the cold fronts we'll be sending in their direction next winter. I'm warning you, they should insulate everything at hand, including the pool tables. I suspect the proverbial well digger's ass will seem temperate by comparison. Yeah. Steve in New York City pointing out that he says, you can't forget that they don't have as much freedom up there in Kanuckistan. Ooh, dangerous word, that. Because they don't got the proliferating freedom protectors. Oh, those poor, poor Kanuckistanians without no freedom. Yeah, you're right, Marty. There's always a bumper crop on Moran Monday. If it were an item of food, it might very well, if Moranity were food, it might very well solve world hunger, such as. Mercy. Computer kicking. Well, anyway, so Scott Walker says, and I don't think Chuck Todd was actually our buddy Chuck. I don't think Chuck was looking for this answer, but he says, everybody wants to build a wall, because I think he was trying to point out that all this Mexican wall business has more than a soupçon of racism in it, bigotry, shall we say. And consequently, I think he was looking for Scott Walker to say, as the governor of Wisconsin, that would just be stupid. Instead, Scott Walker said, "I've been asked that on the campaign trail, and you know." I think we need to look into that. Oh, really? Not a joke. He says we need to look into building a wall around Canada. Or at least along the U.S.-Canada border. But that begs a question. I'm sure that everybody's only thinking about the 50, what is it, 5440? Was that the saying, 5440 or bust? Anyway, whatever that line is, where our border with Canada is, everybody's thinking about that. I mean, you know, down there in Windsor, otherwise known to the Steve Perry of Journey as South Detroit.
Born and raised in South Detroit.
See, I can still hit those notes. No, I mean, we're going to have a wall there. We're going to have to wall in Vermont, wall in Maine. But that's going to be one long wall over in Alaskistan, between Alaskistan and Canada. And that means there's just going to be a whole bunch of waterfront property there that's open, and all they got to do is get out in their little coracles or what the hell ever and start paddling, and the next thing you know, your unwanted Canadian rapists are in Seattle. Carol asks, why do I feel like I'm watching a bad remake of Canadian Bacon? I'll thank you not to call this a bad remake of anything, Miss Carol. Dang it. But that's the state of American moron discourse. Holy crap, we forgot something.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
That's right, that's right. You've had a little taste, you've had a little soupçon.
You've had a sample of Moran Monday. Now it's time to step forward. Come in off the midway. Come on over here to the Moran Monday tent. This thin cybernetic veil that's the only thing in the world standing between you and an array of Morans that will shock, amaze, sometimes amuse, often titillate, and generally shock the pants off of you. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. For merely pennies. Pennies, I tell you. Pennies per day. We bring you this collection of birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, booger eaters, birchers, libertarians, Morans, one and all. Friends and neighbors, kiddies and cousins, advisories do go out with everyone, stepping into the Moran Monday tent, because, after all, you want to keep a close watch, a close hand, keep them close to your side, children, pets, merces, that's a word, merces, purses, wallets, European messenger bags, because, after all, being right-wingers, they can get grabby. Oh, my goodness gracious, friends and neighbors, aunts and uncles, kiddies and cousins, head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits and Morans. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Scott Walker's just the beginning. He's barely the tip of the Moran. Well, we better not say iceberg, because that's Tuesday. Up there in Canada, Ron, with a further note, says, while there's no doubt that building a 5,000-plus-mile fence over often rough territory would certainly create some jobs, wouldn't Walker get more votes if he said he would dedicate the same amount of money and jobs to rebuilding all the bridges that are on the verge of collapse in the U.S.? Just give the money to Pennsylvania so they can finally finish rebuilding the damned interstates. Ron, you've been gone too long. You've been up there in Canada, thinking all those reasonable Canadian thoughts and being civil and stuff. It's clearly rubbed off on you. Republicans don't give a damn about the infrastructure of the United States. Good little Christian fundamentalist, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing families could fall by the gross into rivers and chasms from collapsing bridges, be squished by derailing, exploding trains. Republicans don't care about that stuff. Come on! They don't want to rebuild any infrastructure. That's socialism. That's communism. That's an assault on their religious liberty. And what about the fetuses? Huh? Right! Now, if we could find some way to give the entire federal budget, you know, minus the stuff we're giving to the defense industry, if we could give all the food stamp money to somebody who said they'd stretch a chain link fence from, say, northern Minnesota to Puget Sound, well, okay, because that's job creating, and that's the free market at work. But fence? We ain't talking about no stinking fence, Ron. We're talking about a wall. A wall. Thick like the armor plating on a battleship. Not some fence. You enterprising Canadadians, y'all can just use your Canadadian ice clippers or something to get through a fence. That's why it's going to take a wall, just like it's going to take down in Old Mexico. Thick. Yeah. That way, the only way you great white northerners will be able to get down here as if you get catapulted over to get away from the rampant socialism that's stealing all your freedom up there. Probably be chased by free doctors all the way to the catapult seat sling. Yeah. The stupid. It's mighty strong. But that's okay. We'll figure out that Scott Walker's the man for us soon enough. Just as soon. Well, yeah. Sure we will. Okay, yeah, 54-40 or fight. That's what it was. Thank you, Randy. Popular in 1846, especially among Democrats who asserted U.S. ownership of the entire Oregon country, including the part that Great Britain claimed between 49 and 54 degrees, 40 prime north latitude. Got it. Knew it had something to do with sometime or another. Right. Let's do it. I know. Marty says just read the transcript, but no, this is much more enjoyable. Assuming, of course, that it runs. No guarantee. Sometimes you have this. Better to have it, I guess, on the... Oh, here. Hey, look, it's Scott Walker.
Let me start with that topic here. Your good friend, the Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark, said just this week, he said your campaign stuck in neutral and that you need to find a spark to counter the, quote, Donald Trump juggernaut. What do you say to him, and do you agree with him?
It's hard work. It's going out. I was just in Iowa the other day, South Carolina, New Hampshire. It's doing town hall meetings. It's doing the sorts of things that, you know, remember 8 years ago about this time, there was, I think, a pullout in October of 2007, last time we had an open seat for president, and Hillary Clinton was way ahead of some guy by the name of Barack Obama, and Rudy Giuliani and Fred Thompson were ahead of John McCain and Mitt Romney. So there's a lot of work that goes in these races. For us, I think the biggest spark for us is getting the message out that now's not the time to put in place someone who hasn't been tested before. Mm-hmm. We saw what a mistake that was under Barack Obama. What we need is someone who's been tested. I've been tested unlike anybody else in this race on the Republican side.
But is Trump, Dick, do you feel as if Trump has changed you, changed your strategy, dictated things a little bit differently?
No, I mean, in Iowa, we're going through all 99 states. In a couple weeks, I'll be in New Hampshire in all 10 counties.
Wait, what? I'm telling you, you don't get this level of moron quality just by hanging out down at the corner pundit shop. In Iowa, they're going through all 99 states. Son of a gun. 99 states. No, that's another bumper I'm not going to play. Toto's 99, because right after that, you have to bless the rains down in Africa, and she's coming in 12:30 flight, and everything gets all confused. Oh, God. But, well, it's taking a toll on him because it's hard work. 99 states in Iowa. 99 states in Iowa. Okay, I'm not going to do that either. But they'll figure it out soon enough. They'll figure out they want Scott Walker, or else they won't have Scott Walker to kick around anymore.
I should say in Iowa, it's 99 counties.
Caught up with it, didn't he?
South Carolina, we were just at the Citadel the other day. That was the second time this week we've been in that state. We're out there doing the grassroots. We thought earlier this year that this was going to be a...
And when he says doing the grassroots, he means doing the grassroots. And the thing is, if you let him be president, we'll all get done.
Tight race against a bunch of different qualified candidates, and that the candidate that had the strongest message and ultimately the best organization would be the one that's going to win, and that's what we're committed to doing, putting in the time and effort. It's like Big Ten football. It's blocking, it's tackling, it's doing the mechanics to get the job done.
Why, new poll that was out this week in your home state, you're at 39% job approval, Barack Obama.
It's like Big Ten football. It's, you know, Baylor, it's
bailing out your number one running back prospect from a DUI charge at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. That's exactly what it's like, Scott Walker. Absolutely.
Obama's at 48%. Why does he have a higher job rating in Wisconsin than you do?
Oh, you know, 4 years ago, I was so low in the polls, they called me Dead Man Walker, because back then we were pushing big, bold reforms, kind of like the big, bold reforms, again, we pushed in this latest budget. A year later, I won the recall with a higher percentage of the vote and a higher number of votes. Why? Because our reforms worked for all the hype and hysteria of the...
Except they haven't. I mean, this is the part that gets me. They invite you to come on these programs, and you just sit there and lie like a rug, and trust me, the rug really doesn't pull everything together in this case. Wisconsin is suffering. Wisconsin is struggling. Wisconsin has been peeled like a grape by these Republicans. But that's okay, because, well, Chuck Todd's not going to challenge anybody on it. Right? No, not at all. I mean, the only people who would challenge him on that are simply not going to be allowed to have an interview with him. Because answering hard questions is not something up with which Republican presidential candidates will put. No, no. Oh, God. We are going to be so busy. Because, I mean, already it's 24 minutes before the hour, and we're still on Scott Walker. We haven't even gotten to the South Dakota guy or the Texas guy. Lord God, this is going to take a while. But you know what? We can probably take a pass on Scott. I mean, we all know now. I mean, we've got the essence of it. He wants to build a wall between the United States and Canada because it's worth looking into. And he wants to revoke the Iran agreement because a nuclear war with Iran tomorrow is better than a possible not have to have a nuclear war in 10 years. Yeah, yeah.
Tens of dollars on TSA at our airports, if we're spending all sorts of money on port security, it only makes sense to me that if part of what we're trying to do is protect ourselves, set aside immigration for a minute, but protect ourselves from risk out there, I think we should make sure we have a secure border.
But why are we always talking about the southern border and building a fence there? We don't talk about a northern border. If this is about securing the border from potentially terrorists coming over.
Well,
do you want to build a wall north of the border,
too? Some people have asked us about that in New Hampshire. They raised some very legitimate concerns, including some law enforcement folks that brought that up to me at one of our town hall meetings about a week and a half ago. So that is a legitimate issue for us to look at. To me, when I brought this up in front of the Citadel, I said there are a couple key things. You need to secure the homeland. You need to go after terrorists around the world, particularly in the Middle East, be it ISIS or Iran or others that are willing to do harm against us. You need to reestablish our friendships with our allies like Israel and the Sunni Arab states that feel just as threatened.
Sorry, I laugh uncontrollably. I had to pause it before he said our partners in peace.
Hey.
Hey, by the way, Ron pointing out from up there in the, I'm sure by now, frozen north, 25% of all that Earl buried in the new United States, burned in the new United States, comes down from Canada. The new Canadian motto will be, let those southern bastards freeze in the dark. No, it won't, Ron. You guys would never call us bastards. That would be incivil. No, in fact, it would come with a note, as Ron points out. We're sorry, but this is simply not the way friends behave. Our friends in Israel, yeah. But see, what's going to happen is is when you're terrorizing Muslims get to Canada, they're in Canada, they'll teach them how to be all neighborly and stuff. And that's why we don't have to worry about Muslims coming from Canada. We just have to worry about Muslims coming from hot, passionate Mexico. Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, that's it, isn't it?
Israelis, and we need to rebuild our military. Those were the things we laid out in our speech to the cadets.
Wait a minute. Why do we need to rebuild our military, Scott Walker? Because if we have to, that's kind of like make America great again. It's the again part. It's the rebuild our military part, Scotty. Why do we have to rebuild our military? Because to say rebuild, and I say this as a longtime knower of words, to rebuild means that our military has been unbuilt, which is another word for destroyed. Now, I'm sure he'd like to assert it, but he really can't get away with it, that Kenyan Muslim usurper dictator personally decimated the military, going along and murdering every 10th soldier, sailor, airman, and airperson, and marine. But it hasn't happened. Somebody else unbuilded our military, Scott, and who would that be? Bueller? Bueller? Bush? Yes, Scotty. George Bush unbuilded the military. With a war that he chose to have, and you want to undo a potential agreement with Iran that'll mean we'll have to take our unbuilded military and send it back to get it unbuilt some more. And you need to, and then of course you'll have to rebuild it. It gets confusing.
Starts with securing the homeland. It wasn't just about building a wall and securing our borders. It was all.
Oh, wait. One little suggestion, again, from the longtime knower of words thing, and I mean no offense to our friends in Central Europe, but just because in English, or Merkin, actually, the word the homeland just sounds gross and icky and out of place. I mean, the homeland doesn't appear in the Constitution, and those were some serious word users. I mean, little Jemmy Madison, just sit down with him, as Dr. Bill has proven, by the way, he's on vacation this week. Just sit down with Federalist 10 or any of the other ones that little Jemmy Madison wrote. And I mean, there's words and clauses and dependent clauses and independent clauses and prepositional phrases and subclauses and gerunds. And it, I mean, you got to be a real reader. Which means Scott has never even so much as scanned one. Not even. Cliff's Notes, Federalist Papers. I'll bet there is one. And I'll get an email in a minute saying, damn straight, Bob, there sure is. Here's the link. But, I mean, when they got down to writing the Constitution, it says, we the people of the United States. It doesn't say, we the people of the homeland. Homeland? Other people, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, this, I know, we've been, this came after September 11th, 2001. Yes, I know. But still, I suggest anytime that word is mentioned, instead of the, we just adopt a German word and call it Der Homeland, or maybe Das Homeland. I'm not sure. But it sounds much better. Yeah. I mean, why didn't we just use Fatherland or Motherland? I guess the Germans and the Russians have dibs on those, don't they? Mother Russia. Der Vaterland. Darn it. So we had... We could have used parent land, but that would have been too politically correct, I guess, for some folks. By the way, for some reason I used the word battleship a few minutes ago. I hate myself. You know why? I was just trying to have a really leisurely day. I try to take a day off once in a while and just absolutely divorce myself from politics and news and just sort of, you know, the ground has to lie fallow sometimes. And so last night, scanning around, I don't know what made me do it. Maybe because I couldn't take the rerun over on Turner or whatever of, maybe it was TNT, of The Hobbit, an unexpectedly long movie. Maybe it was wistfulness for my lost youth, where I spent many happy hours playing the Hasbro game Battleship. Very low tech, really, but it looked cool. But lo and behold, they were running the movie Battleship. Now, I mean, you know, Sink the Bismarck, that was a good one. So I tuned in. Man, that is 3 hours of my life. I mean, I should know better. I should stop watching television altogether, unless it's my unless I'm just, you know, being a glutton for punishment and utterly masochistic and decide to watch my beloved West Virginia University Mountaineers break my heart in either football or basketball. But I didn't. I clicked over, and I shut. All these years, and I still haven't learned. Agnes, lovely soul that she is, looked at me and said, "What in God's name are you watching?" But hell, that was like a red flag to a bull, or it was a challenge. All right, damn it, I'm going to watch the whole thing now. You want to be that way? And I did. And all I can figure is Liam Neeson must have really needed some walking around money to get suckered into that dog. Alexander Skarsgård was there, not being vampirical at all, and not turning in nearly the performance that he did in Generation Kill on HBO. No, this was just terrible. The plot was that American and Japanese naval forces were combining for a big combined joint maritime exercise, naval exercise. When suddenly they were attacked by aliens. Well, really? I couldn't make it up if I tried. They were attacked by aliens. Who looked like people who hadn't been in the sun for a very long time and had porcupine quills where their beards ought to be. It was painfully stupid. And consequently, because I was staying away from social media and everything most of the day, I didn't know that the MTV VMAs were on last night. I could have been watching that and at least been hip culturally relevant today. But it didn't. And so I was completely blindsided this morning when I got up and clicked on Mojo. Because, as noted before, I can't take C-SPAN, I can't take ABC, God knows Fox and Friends, no. And I can at least, I mean, it just gives me something to yell at. And so, lo and behold, there was Joe Scarborough inveighing against, Miley Cyrus's breastises. Because Miley Cyrus, and I guess this is a newsflash for some people, wore outrageously skimpy costumes. And how interesting it was that we had the clip, I think it was on Friday, wasn't it? Of her on Jimmy Kimmel Thursday having a very serious conversation about the way that Merca responds to female breasts. And there was Joe Scar. Saying, and I kid you not, well, I mean, we've already all seen them. We've seen everything she's got. And frankly, they're not very good. I don't find them attractive. Really? You can get paid horse-gagging loads of money for sitting on worldwide television and opining about the breasts of a young woman half your age. Maybe that's why I watch that program. Because I feel so with it and up to date when I do. Because shortly thereafter, one John Heilman made a remark about Kanye West having, he took some reefer before the program. No, really. But it was, I sit there and I have my decaf. Don't bother. It is what it is. I was sitting there having my decaf. And, you know, if you get your 100% Colombian decaf, it tastes like coffee. It just doesn't make my heart feel like it's going to explode and run right out of my chest. Sitting there having my decaf, and it's one spit take after another one. And poor Mika, I suppose, was so offended that she couldn't come to Miley's defense. Nobody could be bothered to say, what's with the hang-up about the human body? But the best was last. Really. Because I let it segue over into Jose Diaz-Balart, at which point they began talking about the awful, awful, awful story of the police officer who was apparently executed spontaneously by some random guy. No. And the whole thing, the whole thing has spawned just a bunch of nastiness. Not the least of which includes the sheriff of some county in Texas. Is it Behar? I don't know. The
saying that it's time to stop saying Black Lives Matter, that it's time to stop saying All Lives Matter or Cops Lives Matter, just saying Lives Matter. And the right wing has, of course, fallen in love with that. Yeah. Yeah, you may recall the murder took place in Texas. You may recall a couple of weeks ago that a black cop in Texas said, and this is Officer Donald Givens of the Trinity Police Department, he said, I feel that Black Lives Matter is nothing but a hate group and is no different than the KKK and the Black Panthers. We as a country and a community need to find a way to heal our nation. I think the Black Lives Matter movement is trying to do that, and they're trying to start the healing by encouraging the police to stop spontaneously and summarily executing people of color for being, you know, people of color. And then, of course, like I said, there were the folks who talked into microphones in regard to the murder of Harris County Deputy Darren Goforth. Our system of justice absolutely requires a law enforcement presence to protect our communities. So at any point where the rhetoric ramps up to the point where calculated cold-blooded assassination of police officers happens, this rhetoric has gotten out of control, Sheriff Hickman said. We've heard Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. Well, Cops Lives Matter too. So why don't we just drop the qualifier and just say Lives Matter and take that to the bank? Did you notice that? This rhetoric has gotten out of control. Saying that Black Lives Matter, objecting to the slaughter of black people in the streets at wildly disproportionate rates to anybody else in the country, that rhetoric has gotten out of control. As if somehow saying Black Lives Matter is direct. How is it that they can say that and point the finger at the Black Lives Matter movement when, in fact, you've got people who really have gone and done murders and have said they did so as a direct result of being influenced and inspired by Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Glenn Beck, Bernie Goldberg. And nobody ever said they needed to ramp down their rhetoric. The answer every time that happened was, well, nobody who says, I mean, they're only entertainers, and gosh, I mean, there's bound to be some crazy people out there, and they're just going to do crazy things. Nobody could have possibly foreseen that, but suddenly foreseeability is, whoop, out the window. Because a group of people suggested it might be a good time to stop summarily executing black people in the streets of these United States of America. The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. Yeah. Then there's Harris County District Attorney Devin Anderson. It is time for the silent majority in this country to support law enforcement, she said. Silent majority? Silent majority? Botany Bay! Botany Bay! Oh, no! There's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. Where's that phrase, silent majority, come from? Oh, there it is. The term was popularized by U.S. President Richard Nixon in a November 3rd, 1969 speech in which he said, "And so tonight, to you, the great silent majority of my fellow Americans, I ask for your support." And he was talking at the time to the people who were happy with the Vietnam War, who hadn't taken the reefer and turned into hippiesters. Silent majority. In other words, let's translate that. It is time for the acquiescent privileged white people in this country to support law enforcement, she said at the press conference. And then this, another bumper I am not going to use. There are a few bad apples in every profession. That does not mean there should be open warfare declared on law enforcement. A few bad apples. Okay, let's take, for the sake of argument, the idea that it's just a few bad apples who are summarily executing people of color all over this country on its various highways, byways, streets, roads, avenues, boulevards. A few bad apples. Just a few. But see, the trouble here is that it's so hard to point out in law enforcement that a bad apple is a bad apple. I mean, there are good ones. You know, you have to say that. Not all cops are bad. Some are good. Yes, of course. Because if we don't, they will get their little feelings hurt and they have guns and they might kill us. But they're good. Yes, they are, pretty pumpkins. But the good ones won't get rid of the bad ones. And as we've discussed on this program before, the good ones will cover up for the bad ones because the good ones know that when they screw up, the bad ones will be there to cover for them. Rather effectively, too.
Oh, I saw it all. He was going for a gun. Yeah, definitely.
But we can't, but see, we can't apply the few bad apples argument to people killing cops. Because there, no, this rhetoric has gotten out of control.
And of course, as Ms. Anderson said, that does not mean there should be open warfare declared on law enforcement.
Well, see, that's the thing, Ms. Anderson. Open warfare has not been declared on law enforcement, but you know what? There's a whole bunch of people in this country who feel like law enforcement have declared open warfare on them. Because when you can gun down a young man who has no weapon and leave his body roasting in the August, Missouri heat in the middle of the road with the blood running out of his body, as if it was some sort of warning to the community, as if he was no better than a cur dog. That's the kind of thing that people who are in open warfare with you do. I don't want to back up to something. Just real quick. Sheriff Hickman, that previous quote.
Our system of justice absolutely requires a law enforcement presence to protect our communities.
Does it? Because, and this is just history, but it's something that ought to really turn on the teabaggers and the birthers and the deathers and the ninthers and the tenthers and the baggers and the birchers and the booger eaters. There was a time when America didn't have a
law enforcement presence to protect our communities.
We didn't have one. I think it was Philadelphia that had the first official police force. New York followed somewhat shortly thereafter. And even then, they were enforcement units. They were enforcers to keep those people, whomever those people were being defined as at the time, in their place. Those people were the Irish, the Italians, the Hungarians, black people. Mm-hmm. Do you see a pattern emerging? Most people in the United States actually don't need law enforcement, because most people in the United States are actually law-abiding. And there are, in point of fact, very, very infinitesimally few crimes actually prevented by law enforcement. That's why they're called law enforcement, not crime prevention. The police show up to string out the crime scene tape. The police show up to make the chalk outline of the dead body. They will occasionally look for and once in a while find the actual perpetrator after the fact of the crime's commission. But there's no protecting going on in all of that. It is merely a matter of trying to catch up with people who have already violated the law in order to mete out some form of socially mandated punishment. And here, in the second half of the second decade of the 21st century, that means meting out a rasher of what has become a fetishized form of brutality. Hence the prison industrial complex, which again is not run for community protection, but is instead run for corporate profits. I hope this doesn't all sound just crazy. This isn't anti-police. I prefer to live in reality world where we understand that the vast majority of the work that what the police do is by way of revenue gathering. In the ancient argo of this region, revenuers. Or, as a lawyer buddy of mine refers to them, tax collectors in funny hats. Really? Have we become so fascist? Have we become so fascist that we think of somebody doing 70 and a 65 as a hardened criminal? Is a granny who has 3 glasses of wine at dinner instead of stopping at 2 and winds up getting popped because the Mothers Against Drunk Drivers decided that the legal limit for DUI should be .08 instead of .10? Really? She's a gun mall now? Instead of a grand mall? Most of the things that we in this country are told are criminal conduct ain't. Sure, murder is. Rape is. Arson is. Burglary, robbery, theft. Yeah. But that's not, that is, that none of those things are the things that most police spend their time on. They spend their time enforcing arbitrarily developed traffic codes. So I'm sorry, I'm not buying Sheriff Hickman's claim that our system of justice absolutely requires a law enforcement presence to protect our communities, because in point of fact, our system of justice was conceived inside the Constitution at a time when there weren't any cops. And in fact, describes a nation envisioned by the framers in which they didn't even imagine a standing army, and only grudgingly acceded to one over time. That was one of those hard lessons learned. It's called the Whiskey Rebellion. When the new government tried to raise a little revenue, revenuers, it keeps popping back up, see? By taxing homemade whiskey. Which at that point in time, far more so than whale oil or anything else, was fueling the expansion of a young nation. But the business of suggesting that somehow or another there's a bright line to be drawn between the Black Lives Matter movement and a murderer in Texas. That's kind of frightening, because it's a pointer toward a further foray into fascism that I don't think a self-aware country wants. Then again, who says the United States is self-aware? We don't need to be self-aware. We're the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. And thus, enter Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Oh, what a charmer she is. She's got it all, you know, figured out. Sure she does.
His grandma was tough enough to...
After the ad. Nope. See, I can't really cue it up because, damn it, all I've got... Here we go. Thank you, media.
Minnesota. Hours after Texas Deputy Darren Goforth was executed in Texas. So what's going on in our country? Joining us right now to react is the executive director of Black Sphere.
Time out. Just real quick. You'll notice this theme developed that Deputy Goforth was executed. Oddly enough, I don't recall Fox talking about, Michael Brown being executed. I don't recall Freddie Gray being discussed as an execution. How about Walter Scott in North Charleston, South Carolina? Also not described as an execution, but rather a police shooting.
And you know what? Deputy Goforth was not executed. There's a word for what was done to Deputy Goforth. It's called murder. He was murdered. He was killed in cold blood. And in cold blood, while a very the picaresque metaphor, has a real legal meaning. Meaning that he was killed by someone with a depraved heart. By someone who premeditated the killing, who meant to do it. But in point of fact, if we're just being honest about the language, Deputy Goforth was not executed. I think what these hyper Fox people are thinking about is an execution style killing. Like when people are found in the backs of automobile trunks in New Jersey with their hands bound behind their backs and shot through the head. And then the for-profit media news blatherer says, "And in Hackensack today, a gangland execution-style murder." Yeah, yeah. I think this makes sense. But he wasn't executed. Executions are, by definition, functions of a state or quasi-state actor. For instance, when all the right-wingers in Oklahoma, all the male right-wingers get stiffies, and all the female right-wingers in Oklahoma get all damp, and they horizontally crucify somebody, usually a poor, stupid person, and they pump their veins full of chemicals that make them writhe in miserable agony on a horizontal cruciform, that is an execution. By the way, quick update from where I live here in West by almost level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan. Some 63% of the population of this state, statistically speaking, want a new death penalty. Just because 63% of the people in this state are apparently statistically convinced, I mean, and I say statistically because it was a telephone survey of like 500 people, so it 60, but 63%, and with all the things that make statistics work, 63% of this of the people in this state are just sure that there's somebody out there needs a good killing, and they're pretty sure they know what color they are. There at the wall with the blindfold and the cigarette, and one guy's got a blank in his gun, and the rest, and apunte! Yeah, right. That's an execution. A violent lone gunman walking up and blowing away a deputy. Disgusting and horrible and awful as it is not an execution. And so while Sheriff Hickman is out there babbling about rhetoric, maybe he might want to take that into consideration. Because, see, this country has a long, long, damn, frightening, terrifying, blood-soaked history of outrageous, violent things that groups of white people do after a lone bad act by a lone black person. Hey, what's the name of the community in Florida that was completely disappeared. Rosewood? Roseacre? Rose Lawn? Rosedale? A bunch of white people decided that a black person had done something they didn't like, and so they just destroyed the entire town. And then there's what the white people did to the black folks in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, when they only do it to one person, we generally call that a lynch mob. Or do we call it when they do it to entire communities, too? But that's the most frightening rhetoric going on here. And frankly, Sheriff Hickman? Is that his name? Rosewood. Thank you, Marty. Sheriff Hickman is actually manifesting that most ancient of fears here in the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. That one of these days, the black folks are going to rise up and they're going to deal some justice out. And our white women's will not be safe. It is probably the most identifiable aspect to the collective white psyche in this country. And when Sheriff Hickman says this rhetoric has gotten out of control, what he means is the black people need to shut up about cops killing them all the time. But no, back to Fox. And Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Who knew? Who could ever have imagined that one day we'd be pining for the intellectual heft of Gretchen Carlson? You know? But we are. Oh, Lord, we are. And naturally, in discussing this issue, the person of color brought on to discuss it was there's Ben Carson, too. Black right winger, this guy being named Kevin Jackson. And, of course, he is outraged.
After Texas Deputy Darren Goforth was executed in Texas. So what's going on in our country? Joining us right now to react is the Executive Director of Blacksphere, Kevin Jackson. Kevin, your reaction to Friday's events followed by Saturday's events.
Well, the Friday events were tragic and certainly a stain on the nation. Saturday is pretty much par for the course these days, Brian. If you recall, they had the same chant a while back when another officer was killed, and then of course we've had the officer that got beat up on camera and they filmed him. So it's the unfortunate thing is this is the Black Lives Matter movement, which can only be described as nonsense, is creating a lot of this
only?
Type of thing around the country.
Wait, only?
And it's going to backfire, quite honestly.
Kevin, why has the Black Lives Matter movement not been classified yet as a hate group? I mean, how much more has to go in this direction before someone actually labels it as such?
Well, they should do it, but unfortunately, it's being financed by the leftist, and ironically, it's people that have nothing really, no concern at all about black lives, people like George Soros, and of course...
George Soros? George Soros! Oh, no. Not George Soros.
But, yeah, sure, why not?
Because we'll just make crap up.
And and of course, he was all in a froth, in a lather, because I guess some Black Lives Matter protesters were at the Minnesota State Fair, and they chanted, "Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon." But, you know, this rhetoric is out of control. You know what you're saying when you say the rhetoric is out of control? You know, that really means something. It means you hate the First Amendment. Okay, maybe it doesn't mean you hate the First Amendment. It means you think that we need to do something about it. And as someone who has actually made that argument on this program in the past, that we need to at least redefine the idea of incitement to riot for the modern digital mass communication electronic age. Remember, at the time the First Amendment was crafted, even if you wanted to print up a bunch of broadsides or pamphlets to pass out on the street, you had to have some guy actually set type one letter at a time, and then you had to manually run a printing press. It was a different time. Kind of like the difference between, semi-automatic assault rifles and muskets. When you've got a guy with an audience of hundreds of thousands at night, if not a million or so, who night after night after night after night says, "Tiller the killer, Tiller the killer, Tiller the killer, Tiller the killer," until, and this is another word, one of those words for killing people, until that person is assassinated. You know, we don't say that John Kennedy was executed. We say that he was assassinated. Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. William McKinley was assassinated. And now he's had further indignity heaped on him by that one in our White House, using his Kenyan Muslim usurper powers to take away his mountain from him. Well, Deputy Goforth was assassinated too, I suppose you could say. But Elizabeth Hasselbalch wants to know why Black Lives Matter have not been classified as a hate group. Wow. I don't know. Why not? Maybe because they haven't murdered anybody? Or called for anybody to be murdered? Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. It can't even be argued to be calling for the killing of police. If you say that at the Minnesota State Fair, I can just as easily imagine that you're objecting to the way they make corn dogs now. They're not supposed to be microwaved, damn it. They're supposed to be fried. Deep fried. But in asking the question, once again we find out that Elizabeth Hasselbalch, somewhere deep down in the core of her being, is shaking shaking all the way to the tips of her $2,000 shoes at the idea that Mandingo gonna be coming after her someday. As Carol points out, Clemente Pinckney in Charleston, South Carolina, a member of the Senate of the state of South Carolina, was straight up assassinated. But you couldn't get the for-profit media to call it that. Because, see, black folks can't be assassinated. Unless he's like, you know, Dr. King. Not even the elected ones. No.
Okay. A little clarification, perhaps, coming from Steve in New York. Subject line, hate group. Steve says, that's not what she means. She means terrorist group, but can't yet muster the courage to say that. I don't think it's a matter of courage, Steve. I think it's a matter of brains. So here we are at the halfway point of this More End Monday, but I'm sorry, the filibobster took a little long, a little extra. And the fact of the matter is, I could probably filibobster the entire program, but I try not to do that. I try to make this an accessible program. After all, we invented the concept of conversation radio here, and I do like for it to be that instead of me just running off at the mouth as if I had just taken some reefer. I'm sorry, that did give me at least a minor giggle this morning, in a morning that rather begged for them. I think he took some reefer. Yep, probably rubbed it into his toenails, John Heilman. So both lines are open, 304-574-8178 is one line. The stress line is 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN. Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn. If you've never sent a contact request, feel free to do so at your leisure if you'd like to reach out that way from free from anywhere on the planet. There is so much. Dear God, there's so much. I mean, big stuff, little stuff. I want to make sure that we get a nomination in, since we're talking about people being executed or murdered or killed, maimed, wounded, what have you. I want to make sure that we get a nomination in before this story goes completely stale, although I don't know that it can. Dateline Holly Ridge, Florida. Holly Ridge, North Carolina. A nomination for this More End Monday for Claude Lee Haynes III, aged 70. Claude Lee Haynes III, aged 70. Is a God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian and a member of the Life Walk Church of the Holly Ridge Community Center at 404 Sound Road, Holly Ridge, North Carolina. He'd gone to church, because you need to be doing that if you want to make sure that you're immortal soul is okay. And, well, the nature called. And so he went to the men's room. And apparently this was more than just a matter of, well, okay, so he had to use the stall. Not trying to be graphic here. And when you're Claude Lee Haynes III and you're 70 years old, even if you're just going to church here in Merca,
the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever,
you want to make sure that you're safe. Because anything can happen, even though it is all that. And so when you're 70 years old and you want to go to worship the Prince of Peace, necessarily you're going to take your Freedom Protector with you. Wolverines, in the name of Jesus! He's so, you know, he had his Freedom Protector with him, and his Freedom Protector, in this case, was a 380 caliber semi-automatic pistol. 380s are handy because they're kind of small. They're not particularly heavy. You can put them in a pocket. You don't really have to fool with that whole holster business. You can just tuck it in your pocket and go off to worship Jesus. And I'm not entirely clear, because the journalist writing this story didn't make it clear, but it either slipped out of his pocket or he took it out of his pocket to keep it from falling out and set it on the floor there next to the toilet. I mean, the service was over, and he was just, you know, when you're 70, you don't wait on things like that. And so the service was over, and he went to the men's room, and it wound up on the floor. And, well, Claude Lee Haynes III, age 70, of Holly Ridge, got done what he was doing, pulled his trousers back up, retucked his shirt, I presume, and walked on out of the restroom and left his loaded 380 caliber semi-automatic pistol sitting there. Well, that was about the time when a little four-year-old fella who'd been taken to church so that he could learn early on that he was a creature of sin and that his soul was in mortal danger of the fires of hell created by the loving God who loves him so much he's willing to torture him for all eternity. Well, the little four-year-old fella went toddling into the boys' room because he's, you know, all proud because he's learned to go potty. And somehow or another, they came to the realization that there was a Freedom Protector on the floor there. And so Daddy went a-rushing in to make sure that his little four-year-old didn't get hurt by the Freedom Protector. Good Daddy! I can think of better places for a four-year-old than church on Sunday morning, but good Daddy! Yeah. Holly Ridge Police Chief John Maiorano issued a ticket. No, really, a ticket. It's a ticket. You can be hauled off to prison in some states for possession of a doobie, but just leaving a loaded 380 caliber semi-automatic handgun laying around, you get a ticket. Claude Lee Haynes got a ticket from Holly Ridge Police Chief John Maiorano. He got a ticket for child endangerment. Son of a gun! That's a ticketable offense, child endangerment. Oh my goodness. Yeah, right up there with that 70 and a 65. It's a ticketable offense. Police Chief John Maiorano said he understood the severity of it. Wait a minute. Hockey puck warning. Hockey puck warning. Warning! Warning! Hockey puck warning! Duct tape advisable! Because Police Chief, Holly Ridge Police Chief, John Majorano said he understood the severity of it. This is where you want the hockey puck. A four-year-old is just nowhere near old enough to be within reach of a gun. Which opens the question. How old is old enough to be within reach of a gun? I mean, some of us might say that America doesn't need handguns, but that ship sailed. But 18? 21? Can't buy a beer till you're 21? Should you be able to handle firearms before you're 21? Firearms kill a lot more people than beer does. Don't move or I'll chug this brew. See? Nah, in Holly Ridge, North Carolina, near old enough to handle the guns, probably about 6. I mean, that's when daddies like to take their youngins out with their little cricket single shot 22 rifles to start a planking. But at least freedom protecting Claude Lee Haynes III, aged 70, understood the severity of it. Here's the fun part. Another fun part. Don't spit out the hockey puck. No, hell no. Mirano said many churches are designated armed members to protect against attacks. That's kind of a prevalent thing going on. He just forgot the weapon at the church. He left it there and left the premises. Well, heck, I mean, if the little feller hadn't have found it, he'd have probably been real worried later on. Marmaline, where'd I leave my freedom protector? It's just kind of a prevalent thing they're doing around here, designating folks to protect the church, carry a piece during the service. I mean, I'm presuming we don't fool with anything like the Eucharist or the elevation of the host or any of the incense or any of that other foolishness there at the Life Walk Church. They're probably more likely to have a better sound system than KISS, non-denominational, you know, spirit-filled, Christ-centered, Bible-believing, that kind of stuff. You can bet your bottom dollar it'd have been a different matter if that had been a Homer sectional there in the restroom. Yeah. God Almighty. I mean, this is just, it's almost like it's almost been like a challenge today. I mean, Scott Walker, and yeah, South Dakota. This is precious. You know how for several months now, maybe more than a year, we've talked about the weird fetishistic fascination of the right wing for who goes potty where, when, how, why, and why not? I mean, in a way, the Holly Ridge story, and I meant it this way, was a lead-in to this. If there'd been a guy in that bathroom who used to be a woman, there would have been a purple polka dotted blue screaming hissy. And police chief John Majorano probably would have done had kittens with crocheted tails. Cause that would have been a threat to our children. And your trans person in question, yeah, probably would not have gotten away with a ticket for child endangerment. Well, we have now seen, or are about to see, the next phase in right-wing potty fascination. And it comes to us from South Dakota, Stan. For the love of God, don't put away the duct tape or the hockey puck. Roger Hunt is worried about the precious children of South Dakota, at least the white ones. And he's worried. He's not worried about anybody leaving guns in bathrooms in South Dakota. No, hell no. That's just freedom. He's worried about hoo-has and doo-dahs. Mm-hmm. And we all know that life begins at conception. I mean, except it doesn't, but that's what your right-wingers worry about because they're all worried about the little fetuses. Story popped up in the Rapid City Journal. Probably shouldn't say popped up. And that's a real newspaper, really in South Dakota, Stan. Bart Fonkuch was the author here in Appalachia. They changed their name to Pancake. Now, I'm not kidding. Fonkuch is German for pancake. And we got lots of pancakes in West Virginia. One of the greatest young authors of the 70s, a young man by the name of Brees DJ Pancake, who took his own life but left a slim body of work that promised that he was going to be on a par with Hemingway and Faulkner. But out in Pierre, South Dakota, they hung on to the original German. And Bart Fonkuch has the story, visual inspection could be part of state law to determine gender identity. Now, this is all because last year, the high school athletic governing body put a policy in place that lets students decide for themselves in which gender group they prefer to compete. And this has Roger, well, this is something up with which Roger Hunt will not put. He's a member of the House of Representatives in South Dakota, Stan, and he comes from Brandon, where the men are men, the women are women, and the cattle can't run near quick enough. He wants to overturn the policy put in place by the Athletic Commission. He said, your gender is determined at your conception, and your transgender debate is riding the gay marriage wave. I guess they're surfers. This is South Dakota.
We haven't adopted the East Coast culture. We haven't adopted the West Coast culture. We maintain our own culture,
Hunt said. Meanwhile, the laughter from the Pine Ridge Reservation could be heard all the way to Bozeman, Montana.
Culture? Them?
The panel legislature, according to the story, spent several hours reconsidering the South Dakota High School Activities Association Board of Directors policy on gender, because it lets transgender students participate in athletics as members of the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. Well, Roger Hunt has a plan. And Roger Hunt's plan is to, his plan is for panty checks. This is more in Monday, I'm not kidding. Maybe Roger just wants to be the official panty inspector. Just, you know, pull him out a little bit, get a little look down there. Woo! Oh, my God! Little Jim and the twins. Oh, dear Jesus! Sorry. Sorry, no field hockey lacrosse for you. No, really. He's put a proposal out there that uses official birth certificates and visual inspections for determining gender, rather than letting people be the gender that they are inside. You see, Roger Hunt is a troglodyte, and I don't even think they have gender troglodytes. But he thinks that gender is just simply a matter of plumbing. And you know, if you're a real female and you're on that time of the month, you can just give him a note. Or maybe you can just kind of have the string poking out the side of your underwear or something. Because, I mean, he don't want to see none of that. I wish I was kidding. I'm not. The stupid is strong with this one. Of course, there is a remedy to this, and that is to degenderize all sports activities. No more women's tennis, men's tennis, women's golf, men's golf, women's hoops, boys' hoops. Well, see, that's what I don't know, but I suspect Arthur in the chat room, hey, Bob, is he personally doing the inspections? I reckon he'd like to. I mean, he's a Republican, for God's sakes. And if they're going to use birth certificates and genital inspections, see, this is high school. And one of the things that's still out there is that it is highly unlikely, because of the operation of the laws and the medical standards relative to this community, it is highly unlikely that any school children who are trans will have had any forms of surgery. See, And I'm and so what he'd prefer, Roger Hunt, is just that those awful demon afflicted trans people would just stop a trying to participate in school cultures and stuff. I mean, we used to be able to keep them in check by beating the hell out of them in the locker room and stuff, and that helped some. But dang, now they're out and they're all over the place because they're a surfing on that gay wave. Representing Chris Langer, a pig licking from Del Rapids, South Dakota, said, "This definitely is a minority population we're addressing. It's such a small group to be legislating. No policy or rescinding this is the best." But not Roger Hunt. Whoa, hell no, not Roger Hunt. And it's a nothing burger. It's a non-crisis. Except for the fact that there are problems. In New Mexico, a 17-year-old trans teen wasn't allowed to play volleyball because the New Mexico Activities Association said the gender on a student's birth certificate is the only say on which student a team can play on. And birth certificates can only be amended after sex reassignment surgery, which can't be done when a kid is not 18 yet. Indiana School for the Deaf, middle school coach there, told the parents of a trans student that she couldn't play girls' basketball or volleyball. When the middle school coach said that, Mama went public and said, he said he's concerned about what the other parents would say. What locker room would she use? Where would she use the bathroom? Because they're fascinated with the potty. Lord God. So, young trans people out there, just try not to be involved in sports, okay? Because that'll make it ever so much easier, and the Roger Hunts of the world can sleep safely at night knowing that you're not going to... What? Yeah, oh, well. Yeah, as Carol notes, regarding genital inspections, otherwise known as panty checks, if you want to look, you want more than an assurance, on a creep factor scale of 1 to 10, I give this fucker a 15. It's pedophilia, plain and simple. Oh, I wouldn't leave a young child in the presence of Roger Hunt for neither love nor money. And I don't know if he's got kids, but if he does, I feel sorry for them. But then again, ever so many of these right wings are creepers, aren't they? I mean, I go back to Joe Scar this morning. That was so god-awful creeperish to have him talking about whether or not Miley Cyrus makes his withered old member jump like a snake in a microwave as to just about make it difficult to no. It was not, let me put it this way, it was not a yogurt for breakfast morning. Mm-mm. Ha-ha. so not. And I'm disturbed at giving any free publicity to the walking, talking, breathing id of the American right wing. I can't help, since we were already in South Dakota to begin with, I can't help running a little bit north. Yeah. Craig Cobb, who is a white supremacist in North Dakota, wants to rename the town of Antler, North Dakota, and what the hell is wrong with a city named Antler? I mean, never mind. He wants to rename Antler, North Dakota to Trump Creativity or Creativity Trump. He's open to suggestion there. He's trying to build himself a little all-white town there in remote North Dakota. Botno County, North Dakota. Where Sheriff Steve Watson says some of the citizens aren't happy with the situation. This is the same clown who tried to take over Leith, North Dakota, and the residents of the town weren't having any of it. And the creativity part comes from the fact that he's a member of some weird-ass cult called the creativity religion. Don't even want to know. Not even saving that one for prayer meeting Wednesday. No, oh, by the way, at 2 minutes past the hour, a little program note. Let me just check the date before I say anything here. Yeah, come prayer meeting Wednesday, which is the 2nd of September, there may be no program. And I try to give you a heads up in advance just so you'll know that I'm not playing hooky or bailing out or anything. On the morning of September 2nd, I'm going to deep throat a garden hose. I'm having an endoscopy to have a good look all the way down my gullet and stuff. Now, I hate the conscious sedation, twilight anesthesia, whatever they call it that they use for that stuff. So it is my hope that maybe I can just get them to put a numbing agent down there and let me swallow the thing and have them look around and then pull it back out and be done. In which case, I'll be home and able to do a program. If, on the other hand, I decide that I would rather not be, because I'd kind of like to look at the inside of my innards. I'd like to be awake for the proceeding, because I don't do anesthesia well at all. Not that it, I mean, I just it just messes with my mind. If I'm going to pass out, I want there to be some good tequila or some really good craft beer involved. But if they do have to use the anesthesia, obviously, I probably won't be on the air, because if I do try to get on the air and they advise you not to do anything serious for 24 hours after that stuff, I'll probably be talking to you about the messages that I'm receiving from our future galactic overlords on Norblap 9 that are coming in through the fillings in my teeth. So just make a note of it. Make a note of it. So yeah, there's plenty more stuff. lots and lots of stuff still. But way up at the top of the list, and he's what you call a late add to the lineup card. We've got, and every time I see the name Sessions, I flinch a little bit because I never know when it's going to be Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third, the senator from Alabama stand. You remember Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third, senator from Alabama stand? Sure you do. This is the guy whose federal judgeship nomination got tanked when the Senate Judiciary Committee found out things like him saying, "Well, I used to think the Klan was a pretty good organization until I found out they smoked the dope." Yeah, that one. Well, this isn't Jefferson Davis Beauregard Session the Third. No. This is Pete Sessions. And he is ever so special. He is. You remember last week, I think it was, when we talked about, or maybe it was the week before, when we talked about Jeb Bush saying that birthright citizenship was only a problem because of Asians? Mm-hmm. We have a new entry in the, oh dear. We have a new entry in the contest. Horrifying moments in American culture bring about, well, especially if they involve firearms, bring out the restaurant quality is stupid in people, especially right-wingers. Mm-hmm. And in this case, we're talking about a desperate attempt by Pete Sessions to make our gun problem about anything but guns. Sorry for the big old pause there. You really didn't want me sneezing at you. Happens. So in the wake of the murders at Smith Mountain Lake in Virginia last Wednesday, member of the House of Representatives, Pete Sessions, went on News Talk 820 AM WBAP to explain why it is that we have such a blood-sodden mess on our hands here in America.
The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever.
You betcha. And this goes on for a little bit. But it's well worth it. Because this is a foray into the mind of an entire segment of this country mired deep in bloody denial. Might take us a couple of minutes, but I think we'll be okay. Enter, from the right wing, representing Pete Sessions, talking to Chris Salcedo on the Chris Salcedo Show. And one wonders if at some point in this 10-minute clip he didn't say something like, "Welcome to Merca." Never mind.
Congressman Pete Sessions from the 32nd District here in the great state of Texas. Congressman, it has been far too long, sir. Welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Chris, good to be with you, and I'm delighted that you're not only a voice of reason, but also of intelligence. We need this kind of discussion in North Texas.
How long since I got here in North Texas, your office was the first office that I reached out to say howdy. Even when I was doing news, I walked into your office and introduced myself, and you were kind enough to host me on a couple of occasions. And as I've transitioned out of news into talk, and I've had a close relationship with your office. It's just something that we've cultivated throughout the years, and I've always appreciated that. And
well, so, it has a lot to do with your insistence to want to try and be leading edge. And look, I don't know it all. I don't know that anybody does, but I will tell you that we've got to give information to people for them to have confidence. There's too many things that are happening in our world and in our country and our state, and people are interested in that. And you're the lens by which people may articulate what they're talking about and then us try and get some balance and reason to that. So I'm delighted to be with you today.
Ooh-wee! It's going to take a while to shine all that brown off them noses.
Very kind for saying so. So, and look, I want, before we talk about what we brought you on to talk about, I know that you're watching with horror the recent events of Virginia, and I wanted to just get you to weigh in on that briefly.
Well, why isn't he watching with his traditional family values wife instead of a horror? Horror, sorry.
If you could.
Across the United States every day, there are these attacks on people. It's not just San Francisco. It's not just in New York. It's not just, it's in rural Virginia. It's in Texas. We had one in Louisiana. A Louisiana trooper pulled off on the side of the road to help a man and was.
You know what? So far, I mean, it's true. The gun disease that America has knows no boundaries, knows no time, no place. It is neither urban nor rural, but everything. Just like I've said in the past, everybody, whether you like it or not, has to stand at one point or another at America's Second Amendment NRA roulette wheel and just hope to God your number doesn't come up. Because freedom. Wolverines! Sure.
Killed. These things are happening.
Before we let Pete go any further, an advisory. You'll be screaming in a minute. I promise.
Too many times we've gone to a society that instead of healing and looking at each other to heal and work together, we're adversarial with each other. And it has a lot to do with distrust of people. Chris, I have been in lots of societies, we could say like Japan, where they have a homogeneous society.
Wait a minute. They've got a homogeneous society in Japan? Well, no wonder. Oh, never mind, sorry. Because usually Pete Sessions is all worked up about the homosexuals. But they're not Christians over there anyway, so they can't have traditional family values. So we don't have to worry about them. They got a homogeneous society. Notice how he says it real slow for the people who like to vote for him.
Where people are more alike, and we have this thought process that we have to have diversity in America. We all have to be ethnically completely apart, but respect each other. And
no. Isn't that about ass backwards? Bass backwards? Why do you be? Where we have to be completely apart, but we have to respect each other completely. Isn't the idea of a melting pot? Because see, when you've got a melting pot, everything gets tossed in together and melted together, so that you get an alloy. Because it's actually a metallurgical. It's a metallurgical image. It's a metallurgical metaphor. Because, like, if you're thinking about a big pot with a stew in it, well, you can still tell the carrots from the potatoes, and the meat from the peas. But in a melting pot, what you have, you know, if you've only got one metal in there, it's not going to have the strength that you have if you add in another metal. Yeah. So, right from jump, Pete Sessions has it bass backwards, and he does, because he's a victim of the goddess of irony. Because what he's talking about is the America that he wants, where everybody's separate but equal. Oh, hello, Plessy. How are you this evening? Let's go back.
Well, Chris, I have been in lots of societies. We could say, like Japan, where they have a homogeneous society, where people are more alike. And we have this thought process that we have to have diversity in America. We all have to be ethnically completely apart, but respect each other. And the bottom line is that we should, and we need to work for that. But we have a group of people that are in our country that we're afraid of.
And who might that be, Pete Sessions? I'm just asking. That you're afraid of. That group of people. I'm suspecting it's not the Japanese. Eh? No. And I'm suspecting that since he's talking to a guy named Chris Salcedo, he's not going to get away with saying that it's the Hispanics, either. Now, isn't it interesting that Japan has a homogeneous culture, and therefore they don't have a bunch of gun violence? But somehow or another, it has completely blown past Pete Sessions that they also do not have a monumental handgun ownership rate. Now, mass murders, and I know, we keep picking on Australia, although it's not picking on, we're actually holding them up as a positive example in this case. Hi, Robert. Hi, David. Australian society is not nearly so homogeneous. Homogeneous. That's a smart gay feller. You've got Malaysians and Indonesians. You've got, that was very white of me. Let's not even mention the Aboriginal population, the oldest human culture on Earth, first. You've got the Aboriginal population, whom the white folks hunted like, you know, sport animals. You've got the white folks, you've got Indonesians, you've got Malaysians, you've got Filipinos, you've got Chinese. You've got Greek, you've got Turkish. Lots of people who aren't really all that looking like like everybody else. You've got people from the Indian subcontinent. You've got people from the Arabic speaking lands. And God knows Australia has its own problems. But one of those problems, since the Port Arthur massacre, and since the appropriate, sane, governmental people of Australia, Commonwealth, God save the Queen, response to it, one of the things you don't have is mass murders. just like Japan doesn't very often. And when they do, it usually involves poison gas or knives. This is not rocket surgery. I mean, you don't have to be able to play a Calliope to figure this out. Hi, Tim. But this is all just right past Pete Sessions. It's just that America ain't white enough, and there's people that Pete Sessions is a scared of, which means he's got to have him a freedom protector. Because America's Second Amendment Wolverines.
That have created chaos and confusion. And now our country is confused.
Yeah, hold on a damn minute. He may have a point. There is a group of people in this country who scare us and who have created chaos and confusion and fear. Although I don't think that's who Pete's talking about. The fact of the matter is, that would be your gun goobers, most of whom, you know, north of 95% are of white European descent and heritage. There is a group of really frightening people in this country. They're called white folks. That's like some meme that I saw on Facebook one day. A guy of Middle Eastern descent says, white guy looked at me one day and said, I'm not very comfortable when I'm on an airplane with a man wearing a turban. Can you understand that? And the guy of Middle Eastern descent said, I absolutely can. It's like how uncomfortable I am every time I see a white European male walk into a school or a movie theater. The goddess of irony, she doesn't mess around. She took this guy and had him for lunch.
In America, we all have to be ethnically completely apart but respect each other, and the bottom line is that we should and we need to work for that. But we have a group of people that are in our country that we're afraid of that have created chaos and confusion, and now our country is confused.
Now I'm looking at the story about this clip, and what kind of baffles me is the fact that the line about how we need to have diversity and be completely separate, how that just kind of blew past people. I guess if you're a Republican, you can just get away with saying that and nobody's going to go, wait a damn minute. What about the lunch counter sit-ins? What about the church bombings? What about the marches? What about the speeches? What about the assassination of Dr. King? All in the name of integration and ending segregation, where everybody was separate and respected everybody. This stupid Republican bastard just described his ideal America as a pre-Brown versus Board of Education America, a Plessy versus Ferguson America. And even the folks that think progress aren't going, hey, what the? Yeah, let's see what happens.
And we need to carefully work back towards trusting each other and being together. 9/11 didn't help. But we've got to go to that. It was still going to be a model, and that's why you, your voice, your reason, and hopefully some reasoning, if I'm able to articulate it, we can get people to get back to where we should be, and that is, let's measure three times and saw once.
Yes, I agree.
Careful with each other. But it happens on our roads every day.
Yeah, we've lost the ability. I said this yesterday, Congressman. We've lost the ability to respect one another, and of course, I see a lot of this.
Respect and reason.
Wait. Where's the respect and reason argument when a cranky old white guy goes in and blows away
people watch it, it blows away women watching a chick flick. Where? Because that didn't happen then. That wasn't mentioned then. Damn.
I see a lot of that having a home inside of the American left, but that's a different discussion for a different day. You are
son of a gun!
Probably the wrong phrase.
The American left? Son, child, we're not the ones with the guns. We're not the ones shooting up the movie theaters. We're not the ones shooting up the schools, the American left. So is this clown arguing that we on the left, what left, are so powerful we're able to make right-wingers who have a lot of guns do things that they wouldn't have ordinarily done because of Kenyan mind control, you slurper muslin rays or something? Holy God!
We're introducing H.R. 3437. Protecting American Lives Act. What will this do?
I can't
yeah,
wait.
Yeah, Chris, let me, if I can, tee this up because you're asking the right question. We have repeatedly seen, not just as the murder in Virginia, but we have repeatedly heard stories as they have occurred across our countries. Denver, Laredo, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Corpus Christi. We have heard horror stories about criminal aliens, people who have come to this country, people who are not...
Son of a bitch! You mean Adam Lanza was an immigrant? And Vester Flanagan was an immigrant? And... Aurora, Colorado guy? And Tucson guy? And... Lafayette, Louisiana guy was an immigrant, and the two-year-old that shot his mama with her Freedom Protector purse was an immigrant, and the Republican woman in Michigan who Second Amendmented herself with her Freedom Bra was an immigrant? Dang, they get around, and they're stealthy and sneaky, too. I'm fresh out of Thorazine darts. God almighty. And I broke my U-shaped blowgun too. This goes on, oh my God, for another 6 minutes.
The Protecting American Lives Act. Hey, you know what? I know. He's probably going to pass a bill that repeals Obamacare at the same time that it implants a firearm in the uterus of every pregnant woman in America so the fetus can come out packing. It's going to be the world's tiniest pistol. And he'll come in, don't you get, freedom!
Dylan Roof was an immigrant, son of a gun.
Not coming in from Philip. Subject line, going to the phones in a moment. Issues of sex and gender. Philip writes, because of health issues, it's been a long while since I listened, and I may, in fact, be listening to a rerun. You aren't, Philip. You aren't. And I'm tickled to hear from you, because we worry when we don't hear from our friends. But he said, I'm listening on this last Monday of August to your discussion regarding transgender issues. I have a couple of questions that I need answered to resolve my profound ignorance about the issue. First, tennis without gender? I thought balls were essentially an element of the sport until Rene Richards became known to the public, so what do I do? What do I know? Secondly, are those who oppose transgender accommodation called transistors?
They are now, Philip. They are now. They're transistors.
O'Haley. Did you catch that one? That's restaurant quality. Philip continues, I actually had the unusual experience of having two transgender friends, one in college and one in Texas, and those are different things entirely, I do agree, who wanted to take the friendship further. I regard myself as fairly open, but regardless of what's stored on the top shelves of the refrigerator, what's in the vegetable bin still matters to me when it comes to physical intimacy. Were that not the case, I'd not be the biological father of two daughters and stepfather to a third, whom I've raised since she was a year and a half. That would be unfortunate, because looking snazzy in a paternity suit is something I treasure. As far as... It may have been a while, Philip, but you haven't lost a step. As far as bathroom privileges, they don't matter to me, but then I majored in foreign languages in college and watched them foreign films with the subtitles, not the subtitle like Jared used to have, but that's for a different email. Whew, man, don't hear from you for months, and then it's just pure gold. And have been corrupted by too many of those left-wing European concepts regarding gender and sexuality. Damn that Ingmar Bergman and Rainer Werner Fassbinder. Werner. Regardless of my own personal preference and sexual partner, I really wish the Republicans would worry far more about what's between our children's ears than what's between their legs. Stop it. Wait a minute. And the toaster. I suppose fundamentalist religiosity demands that fixed concept of gender, which conveniently overlooks what actually occurs, for example, children born with both aspects of both sexes' sexual organs. Too bad the Republicans weren't so stringently opposed to choice when parents heeded physicians' advice and mutilated their children to conform to our rigid gender norms. I suppose castration without representation or removal of portions of female sexual organs are only problems when they occur in countries on the Dark Continent and in the Middling East. So it goes. Be well to all, and in particular, Agnes, signed, Philip. Golly, Moses, Philip, that's a keeper. That's one for the ages. Thank you very kindly, and I'm so glad to know you're out there. And yes, the program's live, and you're welcome to chime in like that, just or in any other way, just any old time you choose to. Wow. And so, as promised, let's run over to the Skype line, where, up there in Canada, where I'm sure it's already 50 below zero, we have Ron. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Bob.
How in the world are you?
I'm fine. I'm just sitting here sort of state of stunned amazement, wondering how in the hell do you follow something like Philip?
You know, I'm ready to turn the mic off myself. That was just too good.
Transistors? That's priceless.
If that isn't a hashtag following every one of these stories about right-wingers fretting about potties, then there's no justice in the world, and social media is dead.
But I really called just to let you know that since I discovered it yesterday, early in the morning, as an AP feed, that around 9:30 in the morning, that Dipstick Walker wanted to build a 8,500-kilometer wall, I'm shaking my head. I mean, what the hell's in the water down there?
They've managed to actually protect some of the water in Wisconsin, so I don't think we can blame the water. I don't know. Maybe it's those invisible airborne particulates.
Well, it's got to be the water, though. They won't allow us to export water from Canada. We got it until hell won't have it. But we're not allowed to export it because of various treaties, I guess. But I'm just going, this is just icing on the cake in a theory I posited, I think, some months ago, that I think the more the merrier in the Republican race to beat each other to death on the right and so they can win some primaries, because the further they go, the more chance there is that they'll be unelectable. And that's my theory, I'm sticking to it.
But that's what we always say, Ron. And granted, we got lucky in 08 and 12, but look what happened in 4 and aught.
But to be fair, when Bush was campaigning, he didn't look nearly as stupid as he turned out to be. These guys are looking stupid before they ever get to even see the altar, much less.
Now, wait a minute. Are we talking about the same Bush?
Yeah, he wasn't nearly as stupid when he was running as first time as he was after he was elected.
Yeah, well, maybe you're right. I mean, maybe it's just one long elision of ignorance for me. But because I was reading people like Molly Ivins, and you know, she was a co-author or whatever on a book called Shrub. Before he ran for president, oh man, this is going to be great. But by the same token, I said, this guy's too stupid. I mean, one of these other Republicans will beat him. I mean, for God, I mean, no way. And of course, he wasn't elected. But
he backed into it. Yeah.
But it seems like we're sort of cursed here. What I mean by that is that. We are idiocracy, and we are going to get the government we deserve. And I know this sounds elitist and like I should probably like be living in New York with George Soros or something, but when 63% of the population of your birth state want a return to the death penalty when it has been gone since the 1890s?
Are these the same people from prison that voted for a guy in prison in Texas rather than vote for Obama?
There's probably some Venn diagram overlap in that.
And it gets me to another point. Surveys. We live and die by them, apparently, in the media. I can't remember the last time I voluntarily answered a survey. I have the seed in the back of my mind that people who respond to these surveys and take the 10 or 15 minutes or whatever it requires are all narcissists who simply want attention.
Or people whose phone hasn't rung since the Coolidge administration. Marvelline, the thing, it's making the noise.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'll go out of my way either to not respond, or my personal hobby, if I'm a little bit bored, is stringing along telemarketers. I'm still not convinced.
Now, Agnes used to do that, but she wasn't just stringing them along. She wasn't being cruel. She's Agnes. She wants to be friends with them. And so she would have two-hour phone conversations with telemarketers and know every last thing. She would know the date that they took their babies took their first steps everything. And I think the telemarketers appreciated the break. They liked not being sworn at by somebody. And so, sure, why not? And so, I'm like you. Let's remember, all of these surveys are conducted, when they're conducted telephonically, they are conducted with landlines.
Yep.
I mean, I've had cell phones for years. I've never gotten a survey on one.
Me either, simply because the directories aren't generally published. There are companies now that are starting to do blind dialing and surveys based on the three-digit prefixes.
I don't think surveying the blind is necessarily statistically accurate, do you?
I see what you're saying there, Bob.
I'm sorry. I grew up in the age of Emily Latella. What do you want?
Yeah, we feed off of each other. Stop that. Anyway, moving on. The friggin' wall. Does anybody give any credibility to that? Or is this just pure and simply another tick box on his ignorance?
Well, I think Chuck Todd just, honest to God, apparently didn't care if Scott Walker ever came back, and wasn't particularly thrilled to have him because, you know, why would you take Scott Walker if John McCain's available? But no, he was trying to get him to, without, you know, like leaning on him and saying something to him or making one of those mainstream media liberal talky things. you know, an assertion, a fact. They're coming for you, Ron. Hide the poutine, damn it. He was trying to point out the fact that the Republican call for a wall between the United States and Mexico, and it ain't no fence, it's a damn wall now. I mean, this is Pink Floyd stuff. That it's bigoted and racist and xenophobic in nature. And that the same doesn't, but no, I mean, he's still campaigning in New Hampshire and South Carolina and Iowa, and Scott Walker was not going to be the candidate, by damn. Him with all of 0.2738% of the preference in Iowa and New Hampshire, he was not going to be the one to say that America needs to be unprotected against you people in Canada.
Well, I can see how all 11 people who live in northern New Hampshire along the border with Quebec would be concerned. But, I mean, it's just a mark of desperation. And he's got no friggin' filter.
Well, no, this wasn't a filter thing. It was a mark of desperation. There is nothing so lunatic, so xenophobic, so racist, so bigoted, so prejudiced that you can say to a Republican candidate for president at this stage of the game that they won't say, well, you know, that's an idea we may need to think about.
I'm reminded of Huey, I think it was the Kingfish, Huey P. Long, running for governor at one point, made a comment on standing on the, you know, oh brother, where art thou, dusty bandstand in some small town in Louisiana, who said, I have it on good authority that my esteemed opponent is a confirmed heterosexual. Is that the kind of person we want as a governor of Louisiana? At which point the crowd all yelled, no.
Right.
And they're still out there, apparently.
Look at the number of people who will periodically fall on Facebook for a warning to parents again, about the dangers of dihydrous oxide.
Yeah. It's been a long day. You're going to have to refresh my memory.
H2O?
Okay. It has been a long day.
That's okay. I'm sure that the Reverend Williams probably has your thoughts as far away from dihydrous oxide as they can possibly be.
Not yet.
Okay.
But shortly. And just to correct some misconceptions, today it was 85 degrees here. It's just absolutely beautiful. We're into Indian summer. We're getting it about a month or 6 weeks before you do, but it is just beautiful. It's glorious.
Yeah, they're saying the coming week here is going to be brutal on the East Coast, and by brutal they mean first week of September, temperatures in the mid-90s.
Yep, that's West Virginia summers I remember. It's still summer there, though, technically,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, up till, what, the 21st, 23rd, something like that.
Yeah.
And then, the other part of it, though, is, and we haven't really touched on it that much this evening, the Kenyan Muslim usurper took the taxpayer's jet out to Alaska to pee on the memory of that great American, William McKinley.
You mean the president from Ohio, that proud Republican state?
Precisely.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, all the Republicans in Alaska wanted it to be Denali, because they've been calling it Denali for, well, a certain portion of Alaska's residents have been calling it Denali for about 15,000 years.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the Ohio delegation is apparently all pissed off. You know, how dare he? All that one does is divide us. But here's the other fun part. I caught a little bit from Chris Jansing this morning, who is traveling with the president. And she was talking about climate change, because that's what Barack Obama's talking about. And she was talking about the real world effects of climate change. And out there, of course, she had a man and woman who run a tour business to run up some fjord somewhere and see a glacier. Because seeing glaciers is something that is becoming rarer and rarer and rarer a possibility in this world. And they were talking about the fact that the glaciers are retreating. And they pointed at this one high rocky point that had this waterfall coming over it. And she said, that's not supposed to be there. Summers here are 80 degrees now. And so apparently, she was not a climate skeptic. But then the jaw-dropper for me was the footage they had of a native Alaskan, and by that I don't mean a member of the Palin clan, but one of the current descendants of those people who've been there for 15,000 years, who said, we need Barack Obama to make our lands more open to energy exploration. And forgive me, as a white guy who knows his heritage, I looked at that native person on that screen and said, somebody needs to pull your Indian card. Because I don't think I don't think that's going to play seven generations back. Or seven generations forward. And we have real live members of the indigenous population who listen to this program, and if I get in trouble for what I just said in that regard, I'll apologize. But I have no more regard for someone who says that than I do for a hillbilly whose entire last four generations has somebody dead in a slate fall or in a mine blast or black lung or white lung or black damp. If you want more of that, we're pulling your card.
Okay, a couple of points. First of all, just because you may get in trouble doesn't mean you're wrong. So you shouldn't rush to apologize. And second, we have several instances in Canada regarding pipelines, resources, etc., where the many folks that are affected by it on the reserves, who have the tribal rights to the resources, have been co-opted by huge amounts of money. And if you have no jobs, you have a lousy government support system to help you replace the jobs you lost because it took away your basic heritage. Yeah, people get co-opted easily. West Virginia is a perfect example of it. I agree. I'm not going to avoid calling them out on it. Simply, in my mind, they're wrong. In the long term, it's wrong. I don't care whether you're indigenous, not indigenous, immigrant, whatever. It's just flat wrong. So,
well, I agree, but I'm probably displaying a little bit of cultural wrongness somehow by assuming that all indigenous people should adopt the same stand. But when I see the heroism of my friends in the Northwoods, and when I see the bold no backing down of the Apache people at what is it, Oak Flat in Arizona, who are saying hell no to being ripped off once again to have the land exploited. And then I find out about these folks in Alaska or I think it was in Montana, some Crow people who were like, hell yeah, we're leasing this to the coal company. Ooh-wee! You know, no group is a monolith. But I also acknowledge freely my own ignorance of the issue and the fact that some people... Well, as a hillbilly, I have to acknowledge that people can be easily seduced by the promise of wealth, but the thing is, it is a promise in any resource circumstance, whether it be coal, oil, gas, tar sands, what have you, frack. The promise of wealth is never the same thing as the delivery of wealth. And anybody in Appalachia who actually has two brain cells to rub together can tell you that we've been promised that prosperity was right around the corner for 130 years here, and you know that better than I do, Ron. And it ain't never showed up. I guess that's because they sort of mugged us before we could get to the corner and turn it.
Honest to God, honey, I swear the check's in the mail.
And what goes with it? Hey, Ron, I did want to mention, because we're in kind of a tough spot as far as fundraising goes this evening, you did put a challenge on the table. $50.09.
What was I thinking?
I know what you 12. Were thinking. And if that gets met, our fundraising goal will be down to $84.06.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
That's why we talk so long. You needed to work out the gazentas on the side.
My head hurts. My head hurts. But all of that being equal, it would be really nice if people would match your challenge. And I would appreciate it.
I strongly encourage it.
As do I. Thank you, Ron, and have yourself a wonderful evening. Give my regards to the good reverend.
Oh, in about a minute. I'll do exactly that.
It's going to take that long?
Yeah, it's in another room.
The long march. Take care, Ron. See ya.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. Our buddy Ron up in Canada, and I trust our Canadian friends know that I'm kidding when I say Canada. Nice note coming in from Robert in Australia. Subject line, Macquarie University. Robert says, I live near Macquarie University here in Sydney, New South Wales. It caters for students from all around the world. Across the road from the uni is the Macquarie Shopping Center, Mall. If you sit down just about anywhere, you can watch the whole world walk by. As students from the uni are always about, you can hear languages from all around the world being spoken. I find it wonderful. Is Australia perfect? No. We still have racial issues, but things are a lot better than when we had the old White Australia policy. That started in 1901, shortly after Federation. Dismantling it started in 1949, but it wasn't totally and completely dead until 1973. Then in 1975, the Racial Discrimination Act made racially based selection criteria unlawful. We've had our ups and downs since then. But overall, it seems to be getting better. And the food's excellent. I don't think I could have survived the last 50 years on boiled beef and cabbage. Oh, that's good once a year, Robert, but I agree. And that's precisely my point. Australia is anything but a homogeneous culture and sort of puts the lie to everything that Pete Sessions, super genius, who, by the way, is not just some guy in Congress. This guy is the head of the House Rules Committee, and that means something. And, oh, my God, all the way from Sweden, it's our buddy Scott. Hey, Scott. Oh, Scott. We're connected. We'll just wait here a second, because we don't hear from Scott just every day. Because, God Almighty, it's 2:54 in the morning in Sweden right now. Oh, news just in. Half of Ron's challenge has been met. Thank you, Carol. To wit, $25.11. Thank you very kindly, Carol. Let's see. Five minus one is four. And one is zero. And then 14 is 9. Okay. So that takes us down to 109.04. Assuming that the other half gets met, because I'm counting in Ron's challenge on the front end. Well, it looks like we're not going to hear from our buddy Scott. He's got audio issues on his end. He says, betting Skype's effed up. Some other year I'll get through. I cannot fix this on the fly in 3 minutes. Welcome to my world. and our buddy Scott says, good night to all my hornies. So, thanks very kindly to all of you for joining in on what has been a busy Moran Monday that's going to wind up having Titanic Tuesday leftovers, whether we like it or not. A little bit of breaking news. Two pieces of breaking news, really, before we blow right out of here. The Supreme Court of the United States, having recently declared same-sex marriage to be a matter of right under the Constitution of the United States, not just legal, but a matter of right, have just rat-slapped Round County Clerk Kim Davis, Round County Clerk Kim Davis of Kentucky, who has persistently refused to do the job she is paid by the people of Round County to do. She has been commanded by a U.S. district judge to do her job. She has told that judge to go stuff it, because if you're a right-winger, you can do that in America. She was rejected by the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, and now she has been turned down by the Supreme Court of the United States. So thank you, Tim, for letting us know. She can either now resign or do her damn job. And just one last thing before we head out of here. I don't have a lot of detail here, but it's enough to be frightening. There has apparently been another huge explosion at a chemical facility in China. Because, of course, we must remember that safety regulations for things like chemicals are job killers. Whereas unregulated chemical industries are just people killers. And people are, of course, expendable in the face of money. Yay, capitalism. Time to get out of here. Thanks for the help with the evening, very much. We can use a little more, just trying to close the evening out. Thank you for all of you who share your time in this little conversation. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks, one and all. Back for Titanic Tuesday tomorrow. Y'all have a wonderful evening. Good night, y'all.